There's quite a verse there. Let's read it therefore again, right? There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma, right, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And so we're going to talk about this. We're going to define it. We're going to deal with it quite a bit. And there is a proper chastening. There is a proper way that God deals with us. But what we're talking about when we get to this condemnation is not only, let's say, like a feeling of guilt or that God puts on you, but it's also, or another person puts on you, but it's also that with it comes a rejection that you're rejected. Okay, that's the emphasis on the word condemnation. And there is condemnation. They are condemned already that don't believe on the Lord, but we're going to get into some of that in just a little bit, okay? And when we talk about this condemnation and we use it in the sense that it is destructive to the person, it means it's a very destructive thing, and it can be, whether real or imagined, justified or unjust. The subject is one with many aspects, and we're going to just consider a couple of them. So we're going to start here with condemnation defined. Okay, do we have any Greek experts that want to say that word? Anybody want to give it a shot?
Kakarino.
Okay. Yeah, where the emphasis is, we don't. There's no emphasis mark there, but one of those, and there needs to be an emphasis. And so it signifies to give judgment against, to pass sentence upon, hence to condemn, implying the fact of a crime. So when you're condemned, there's the fact of a crime that it's true or that you've done something improper, right? Okay. The English dictionary, and this would probably be Webster's 1828, to pronounce, to be utterly wrong, to utter a sentence against, to censure, to blame, includes the idea of utter rejection. So that's condemnation. That's what the word we're using here. And then we're going to discuss it a little bit, right? That's what the condemnation discussed. The subject is a pretty serious one. It is pretty amazing to me how different people think about things, but there are people that go around and they feel condemned all the time. And they shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be in that mode, because believe it or not, you do something right, right? But some, no. You got it once in a while, you must luck out and do something right, right? You know, but they do. Condemnation is synonymous with rejection. It can be a minor as social rejection due to ethnic or economic status, or as major as sovereign rejection of a sinful man for eternity. So it can go from one stream to another, right? Big things or little. And so have you ever felt condemnation? Let's see. Anybody? This is supposed to be a discussion. That means I just don't talk. You have to answer too. You know, it's like a discuss. Okay. Anybody ever felt any condemnation? Okay, that you've been rejected in certain circumstances, right? Yeah. Maybe because, like it says, maybe because you were out of your class, right? Or, you know, and you felt way left out and left field. But other times it might be just that you've been totally rejected. I don't know. It seemed like my father had a way of pronouncing sentence that when I was a young person, it implied that I was being rejected. And that's a strange thing. You know, and so parents to children can get this. You can correct your children without making them feel that they're totally rejected. Okay, there is a proper way to do that. The Lord does it with us all the time. He corrects us without that. We do know He'll never forsake us. And so we have to do this. Now, anybody else? One person in here has felt? Dave, you shook your head, right? Yeah, you went like this. Yeah, okay. You feel, is it strong? How many of you feel a lot of rejection? That any kind of circumstance, do you automatically go in there? Just asking a question. Do you automatically go in there thinking that people aren't going to like you? Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. It's. Mm-hmm. Green. That doesn't.
I'm trying to get something here. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't mean everybody feels that way. It's just a lot of people do feel that way.
But I'm sure it must be.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, it can be extreme. It can be debilitating, actually. So to the point that if you're condemned all the time or you feel like you're being condemned, like I said, justified or unjustified, it's not the point right now, okay, is that it'll prevent you from doing certain things. You won't go and do certain things because you think, like I said, true or not, that you're going to be rejected, right? Yeah. It can have great power. Anyways, condemnation does not cease to be a conflict at conversation, but continues to cause problems, or conversion, I should say, but continues to cause problems for Christians. And so even though we've been born again, even though we've been quickened, we bring this into, you know, that way of thinking into our Christian walk. Now, not all of us, to different degrees, it certainly is. And so it can be a cause for a lot of people to isolate themselves. It can be that they don't socialize as they should. Unjust condemnation has a crippling effect on the usefulness of the individual. Okay, unjust condemnation. So a lot of times, I do run into this a lot of times with relationships between parents. As I mentioned with my dad, he had a way of, you know, it seemed, I don't know whether it was learned behavior or what it was with him, but we felt, as children, we felt like, you know, get away from me. I don't accept you the way that you are. And actually, I don't believe it was true, but yet, that's how we felt in those circumstances. And so, you know, we need to understand that it can cause a lot of problems. And so when you're in what are you think some of the reactions that we would have? Okay, we feel condemned. We feel like we're out of place. It can be that we don't attend the social thing. What's another reaction that in our human frailty that sometimes people do? Do I? Absolutely. Yeah, they can be defensive or they can put on the show, right? You know, but inside they're crippled by the situation almost, but yet they're playing the game, right? They're pretending. Yeah, it's quite a number of reactions that a people can have. I think that I took on the latter one, even though I wasn't confident and felt rejected. I think I played the, you know, like this doesn't bother me sort of thing, you know, and just went on with it. But who knows? I don't want to get into too much shrink, the shrink side of this thing. But the sources, so there's spiritual condemnation, right? And so, Rachel, do you got that one? John 3:18? I partially quoted it earlier.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he that hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Okay. So here is a condemnation. The sentence has already been made before God. Remember John 3:16. Everybody knows that verse, but they don't realize that they're 17 and 18. So all mankind, because of sin, is under condemnation. That's what it says, doesn't it? Yeah. And see, that's where this whole philosophy, you know, of modern day Christianity is they got it, they're not coming from a right perspective. Sin has separated mankind from a holy God. And people don't want to talk about sin. It's not part of the equation anymore, right? But it has. And so there's a sentence for sin, and it's condemnation. They are condemned. They are already pre-sentenced, prejudged, and found guilty. And that's a yes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to completely interrupt you there. I just wanted to say, one time, as you were talking, I remembered we were going around neighborhoods and inviting people to come to VBS, uh-huh. kids, you know. So this dad came to the door, and we told him what we were doing, and we gave him the flyer, and he said to me, "Well, I might let them go, but I'm worried that you'll tell them about sin and hell."
Uh-huh.
So I was like, "Well, that it's real. It's there. You know, I mean, we're not going to dwell on that, maybe, but they're going to definitely find out that yeah, that's that's the way that it is."
Yeah.
You know, and no, he didn't want to send his kids because we were going to.
Right.
We were going to tell them the truth. So I guess.
Yeah, that's right. And
I thought that was interesting.
Well, there's an aspect of God that, you know, there's what is called an emphatic attribute of God. Okay, there's, I don't know if you've ever studied the attributes of God from the scriptures. That's what we know, okay, what is written in there. But the emphatic attribute of God is his holiness. Okay, is holiness. Okay, be holy for what? I am holy. Okay, there's a holiness. That's an emphatic attribute. And so holiness is, out of holiness comes judgment and different parts of what we know in Scripture. And then out of his love, okay, came the answer for that. And that's, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So holiness had to be justified. The sentence had to be covered. There had to be a penalty for sin. But his love found a way to answer that. See, and that's pretty amazing to me. But anyways, okay, how about Mark 16:14? Sharon, if you would get that, please.
Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen.
Okay, yeah, and the upbraiding is that he chastened them, or he went after them quite a bit for their hardness of heart. All those without Christ are condemned already, and they live in this condition continually. Mark is the resurrection, and it talks about the resurrection, and that's the answer to the condemnation. But all those without Christ are condemned already. They live in this condition continually. And I truly believe that God, according to the Word, is calling to them and actually wooing them. I know that's not a word we use very much, but like bringing them to the cross. And people say how? The very creation itself is the start of it. The very creation that there is a God. And it's not, you know, one of 10,000, but there is a God. And then, of course, the Word has there. So there is a spiritual condemnation, and we certainly are no longer in that. That's what you have to understand. There is no condemnation now to them that are in Christ Jesus. And then there is a part that walk, not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? That are serving God and going after it. It doesn't mean that God's going to reject you in that sense, but it's a true born-again experience, okay? Not the like confessor, but a possessor, we call it. When you got saved, you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. There was a change. And if there wasn't a change, there's something wrong because there's a change that happens. And whether, you know, and I know people that sometimes when they get saved young, they don't experience the intensity of that as some of us that after we got saved when we were older, we understood it so much more. And I certainly can understand that. But then there's a social condemnation, right? And Jesus understood this. And Ron, if you can, Matthew 12. It's quite a bit of scripture, 1 through 8. If you wanted to read half it, that'd be fine. Whatever works for you.
At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. And the disciples were poor and hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read that what David did when he was and hungered, and they that were with him? Now he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have you not read in the law, now that on the Sabbath days the priests of the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meant, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath day.
Okay. So here was a condemnation from the Pharisees and the he got it from all rounds. He got it from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the lawyers all came and tried to trip him up, of course, using the law. But actually, it was what they added to the law, okay? Now, what would be the law that they were saying that he was guilty of? Yeah, doing work, right? Now, if he was gathering grain, I believe, to sell it or whatever it might be, maybe they would have had it. But the Lord proclaimed to be guiltless in this. So what they did, and the corn, I think you understand that, you know, they didn't have maize as we understand corn. Corn was used for all kinds of wheat and barley, different type of crops, any kind of grain crops. And it's actually called meat in your Old Testament. And a lot of times when people read the term meat, they always think it's like, you know, of a calf or of an animal. But no, a meat offering was actually grain. And so some of it, they considered that meat. And so it's just something to pay attention to. But he said that he was guiltless, and he was the Lord of the Sabbath on this day. And so they were ready to condemn and to look. But he said the priest, that they profaned the Sabbath. Now, you understand that, don't you? Because every Sabbath, they offer the sacrifices. They actually kill the animal. They flay it. They cut it up into portions, you know. And all of this is going on with all the priests. And then the different priests would make the offerings. You know, the younger priests actually did all the grunt work, if you wanted to know that. They did the grunt work. And then the older ones did, you know, each one had their task to do. But they would do, it was a lot of work. Can you imagine? You've heard about some of the offerings that they made. Think about how many offerings had to be made on Passover when everybody was bringing their, I mean, it had to be just thousands. And I don't know how many of you ever skinned an animal or, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, this is work. I mean, this was labor, but they were guiltless, even though the law says that you should do no work, right? And so he was explaining certain things to them. And so there is that kind of condemnation. And you got to be real careful about how you come across with that. But they had an idea. You have to realize when it refers to Christ, that they weren't just trying to find him guilty of a law. They were trying to totally, you know, do away with him, to eliminate him, to say that he was meaningless, because they were very jealous. We know it was jealousy with the people, because many people were following him, and so they were trying to condemn and attack. So be careful yourselves. We need to learn from these kind of type of things that we're... Like I said, there is a difference between correcting a situation and condemning somebody. And the Lord chastens me and corrects me, right? But I truly do not, well, maybe you do, but I do not feel condemnation in that. Matter of fact, the chastening hand of the Lord is actually a comforting aspect to me, because I know I'm his son, his child, and whom he loveth, he what? Chasteneth, right? That's right. And so I don't take it as a negative thing. And so they condemned the guiltless. And then Matthew 9, if somebody, Angela, if you would, 32 through 34. Okay, so he was doing a good thing. And they found reason to condemn that. I mean, really, when you, if you study all the accounts at this time of this, he was going and healing and people possessed with devils and everything else. But yet they found fault with that. And they said that he cast it out by the power of Beelzebub or the devil, right? And Beelzebub is the lord of flies, actually. And that has a connotation with excrement. And so it's the Lord of the dung, right? You know, and so the, it's really a, you know, it's not a compliment at all. It's a, it really has a, that kind of twist to it, and so anyways, there's he was condemned for doing good, and actually you gave that example. That's a condemnation. You were out there trying to do something good, right? And, you know, people will fault you for doing something good. We have to be very careful. There's a lot of Christians that are trying to do good. And even with our brothers and sisters, sometimes we point the finger and say, but all they're trying to do is do good. Be careful with it. Be slow and think things through quite a bit. Don't condemn them, right? How unbelievable the doing good was a cause of condemnation. And of course, if you know the other, that portion of scripture there, that is also where he talks about when they accused him, that's when he went into the, what is called the unpardonable sin. Okay, not in our reference here, unless it's down there farther. But if you read the other accounts, right at, during these times was when they accused him, and he talked about an unpardonable sin. Okay, and I think you've already been taught through it, whether you remember it or not. Okay, but there is no sin that cannot be covered by the Lord Jesus Christ. The unpardonable sin was the rejection of the Holy Spirit of God. And saying that the work of the Holy Spirit was of the devil. And at that time, it was very pronounced, and I believe it was for that time. And right now, though, in a way, we do very similar with the rejection of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that dwells and does the work of calling you, convincing you of what? Sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, right? And that's the Holy Spirit. And when you reject him, you're rejecting the Holy Spirit. You say no. And a lot of men and women have done this. I did it for weeks. The Holy Spirit was working on me, convincing me of sin. And I said no, no. People were still praying for me. I'm very thankful. And so the Lord still worked. But when you say no, you're rejecting the Holy Spirit. Some have said, get away from me, right? I don't want to learn about sin and, you know, whatever it might be. And hell, I don't want my children to be taught those kind of things. They're rejecting the Spirit of God. And so I do not believe the exact sin. I believe it's for that time with that group of people, okay? That there's nothing unpardonable unless you want to classify the rejection of the Holy Spirit of God on the callings of salvation in that context, okay? Do you understand what I mean by that? You know, you're saying, no, get away from me. Your work is no good. You know, that kind of thing. Because you're not going to get saved unless the Holy Spirit of God is dealing in your life. He chooses you. He works with you. Okay? Now there's self-condemnation. Okay? Romans 14, 14 through 23. That's quite a bit of scripture. Why don't we try to share that, Carolyn? You can start and just press on. You know, do a couple of verses, and when you stop, the next person just gather it up. Romans 14, 14 through 23.
I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walketh thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin.
Okay. Okay. Quite a portion of scripture. You ready? We can talk on that for the next month or two. First off, when you read that portion of scripture, you got to realize that in that chapter, there are verses preceding it. And you have to also understand in your Bible that chapters do not necessarily end or begin a thought. Okay? I know that a lot of people think that. They think that the chapter divisions, like, that's where they should start. And then, but in your understanding of the scripture, you need to go and look at where the discussion was started, which is on judgment and different things like that, is where the discussion, unrighteous judgment. And then it went into, first off, about receiving your brother. Don't receive your brother unto doubtful disputation. In other words, questioning and all this other stuff. And it goes on, and then it teaches that. So be careful even how you, when you read scripture. We took a portion of it, but read it all, okay? And then you'll get the right balance of it. But there is talk about condemning yourself. So, okay, whatsoever is not of faith is sin, right? Did he declare that you could do anything? Are you going to use that verse to declare that you can do anything and it's there's nothing unclean? So I could do anything and it's not unclean? No, you got to really put it in its context, okay? Really, really watch that. But he is trying to make a point here. So if you know that there's not anything, we're going to talk to matters that are not discussed in Scripture, okay, that don't have a clear basis in Scripture, and you're doing something, you need to do that by faith, that it is okay. The Lord would allow me to do this. It is okay to do. And that is okay, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. In other words, let's say you wanted to go and you did something and then you were questioning it, right? You were actually, oh man, I don't know whether the Lord would have me do this. I don't think, but I'm going to do it anyway, but I don't know, you know. But you end up condemning yourself. So you need to walk by faith in what you do. Okay, it's not telling you to do anything or that you're allowed to do everything, but you need to walk in faith what you're doing, or else you're condemning yourself. Because we're supposed to be able to do things and have the freedom of it. Now, it's talking about three different things there. It talked about meat and wine and other different things, right? There were some back in that day that it was meat offered to idols. This is that meat offered idol problem that he run into in many different areas. Some would say that, okay, it'd be like Tana, she's a frugal buyer, right? So if we were back in this time, I already know she would go and she would shop at to get the meat at the store, discount burnt offerings, right? That's the name of the store. And she would go, because she has a little bit, didn't have enough money, she would go and buy some of that meat. And I would sit down and I would eat that meat. It wouldn't bother me a bit. Even today, it wouldn't bother me a bit, right? Now, but he came over to visit, right? He's got a real problem with it. He says, man, that stuff was offered to devils and all this other stuff. And man, I'm not going to have anything to do with it. And he puts on that. So who does what? Well, actually, the person that has the liberty, okay, the freedom, is supposed to yield to the person that does not. And most people miss that. They want to say, oh, I'm strong, so you got a problem, right? And they would reject that. But that is not what's supposed to happen. The person that is strong should yield their position and say, okay, for your sake, because it would condemn him. It would make him feel improper. He would do that. You would not drink wine, eat meat, or whatsoever. You don't do it for the brother who has the problem. And like I said, when people read these portions, it's in another portion of Scripture. They always want to think that they're taking the high ground because they're exercising their freedom. No, you just walk away from your freedom. And now you could have, you know, you could have that fried meat next tomorrow or something, right? And then you'd eat grain with the brother that couldn't. You know, that kind of thing. So anyways, don't condemn yourself. Walk in the Lord. The more scripture you know, the more confidence that you can have. We already know when it comes to many, many questionable areas, I really believe that the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, you know whether you have the faith to do that. But there are some that condemn themselves and question themselves over everything. Don't do that. Don't do it. Like I said, knowing the scripture, right? So where the Lord didn't want us to walk through life in condemnation and feeling guilty all the time about everything. That is not what the Christian life is supposed to be. Where's joy in that? If you're ever, you know, everything you do, should I open up the door? You know what I mean? You're questioning everything. Now there's also satanic condemnation. Revelation 12. Revelation 12:10. And it says that I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. There's the condemnation, day and night. Now, satanic accusation can focus attention on past sins. And so you have to understand how Satan works. And he's trying to get you so that you won't serve. Basically, he knows that you're in, the Lord has you, but he is trying everything that he can do to get you to be ineffective. He can't have you. You're possessed by a greater power. And so, you need to understand, but he's focused attention on past sin. Haven't you been forgiven? But really, it happens to me really, I have to just say that. Our past, I don't know what triggers it. I wish I did. Maybe it could be the devil. It could be my own thoughts. It could be a situation that I'm in that reminds me of something in the past. But haven't you ever gone on it and all of a sudden you're thinking, you know, not that you've been forgiven, you know, but you're feeling, oh my, you know, and you're doing that. Don't do it. The adversary, whether it's you or the adversary, it still has the same results. It certainly doesn't make you joyful in your life, okay? You have been forgiven. You're in the Beloved. You're a child of God. Now let's walk so, right? Let's walk in the right way. Discount present service. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm not doing anything. Even though you are doing something, but it's always to that negative side. In other words, and that's what a lot of times in our own walk with the Lord, we as a people or as a person, as an individual, we do not focus on, okay, parents, with your children. Do you focus on what they don't do or what they do? Well, yeah. And really, now think about this with your children. If you're only getting on them when they're doing this and they're doing wrong, and you're not seeing and focusing on also all the good that they do, they are going to grow up feeling condemned because that's what they heard. And your Heavenly Father doesn't work that way. Believe me, he doesn't work that way. Now, does he correct and all these other things? Yes, he does. But we're going to have to stop there. I'm over. Okay, so...